first reading is from Acts chapter 10. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
And please stand to receive the gospel. This is the resurrection story according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. The angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I need children to come up here. Kids? And can you come up here and sit down here? I'm going to sit here on the end. I have candy for you. Yes. Please sit down. Y'all look so nice. So what are we celebrating today?
Easter.
You can come up here. Come in the middle. There's a place here. Yeah, there we go. You got one more back there? Okay. We're celebrating Easter. We're celebrating that Jesus came back to life. And it's always in springtime. I like that. Do you know if we lived on the other side of the world, if we lived like in South America, it would be getting colder. Isn't that funny? Can you imagine having Easter in fall? But we have Easter in spring here. And we're reminded of new life. New plants are coming up. And we're reminded of resurrection. That Jesus, that means Jesus rose from the dead. I have eggs for you with jelly beans inside. What's your favorite color of jelly bean? Anyone? Yes. What color? What? Blue. Okay. What's your color? Orange? Yeah. Green? Orange? Red? Red? Orange? Green? I liked red. And it seemed like when I was a kid, there weren't many red jelly beans. There were just a few, so I always liked the red ones. But now, they seem to have a lot of them. So I have a little poem that talks about the colors of jelly beans and what they mean as far as Jesus rising from the dead. Red is for the blood he gave, that is Jesus. Green is for the grass he made. Yellow is for the sun so bright. Orange is for the edge of night. Black is for the many sins made. White is for the grace he gave. Purple is for the hour of sorrow. Pink is for the new tomorrow. A bag full of jelly beans, colorful and sweet, a prayer, a promise, and an Easter treat. So I also have some punch-out crosses for you that are very colorful. So I'd like you to come up and get an egg and a punch-out cross, and you can go back to your places. Thank you so much for being here. Just go ahead and take one. Be sure you get both. There's plenty, don't worry. There we go. Mm-hmm. Come on up. Take one. She needs help, I think. Can I give you one? There you go. And take one of these too. Oops. Can you get that? People are particular in what color egg they get, huh? There we go. All right. There we go. You're welcome. So three people were playing golf. It was Peter, Jesus, and another person. They were all playing golf. Peter took his turn, and he hit the ball right into a pond. It was now Jesus' turn, and he hit a perfect hole in one. Now it's the third person's turn. He carefully evaluated the shot and prepared to swing. He hit the ball into the lake, too, but right before it sank, a fish caught the golf ball in its mouth. An eagle then swooped down and plucked the ball right out of the fish's mouth. The eagle soared towards the hole and dropped the ball in it. Jesus grinned, looked upward, and said, "Nice shot, Dad." So today we celebrate the victory of God and Jesus over death. And we celebrate that even Peter was forgiven, and Peter somehow becomes renewed. You remember Peter, the one who denied Jesus, who said he would go all the way with Jesus to death, and he ends up denying him three times. Even pitiful Peter, somehow in the book of Acts, becomes this powerful orator, this powerful preacher, and preaches about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection is what we're talking about today. What is a resurrection? Well, it's not a matter of, a ghost appearing, a dematerialized ghost. Now, you might think that because, Jesus says to Mary, don't hold on to me because I've not yet ascended. Well, remember that next week, Jesus appears to Thomas and he says, touch my hands. I'm really flesh. So resurrection is more than a resuscitation. It's more than a ghost. It's something beyond all possibilities. We talk about the resurrection of the body in the Apostles' Creed. How might that happen? It's a different body, but it's still a body. It's an incredible, impossible thing that Jesus has accomplished for us. And this resurrection, it takes away the darkness, the brokenness of the world, and brings us opportunity for new life, constantly new life. So what about these grave cloths? Do you ever think about that? It's like the linen cloths. What's all the stuff about the linen cloths lying in the tomb? Well, grave robbing was a big thing during those times. In fact, there was an imperial edict against grave robbing. Apparently, graves would be robbed for the value, any valuables that would be there. Linen was a very valuable thing, a very valuable thing. For someone to rob the grave and take away the body and leave the linen there, that didn't make any sense. And what about the thing about Jesus, the cloth on Jesus' head being rolled up in a place by itself? Apparently Jesus made the bed before he left. This is a warning to us. We should always make our bed first thing in the morning. If Jesus kind of like was like a spirit that rose, wouldn't the grave cloths have just been left there in a clump? No, they're rolled up. What is this all about? This resurrection is something different, something new, something other earthly, something that's never been heard of before, that could even change Peter. Even Peter could turn into a great orator. Jesus says to Mary, don't hold on to me, Mary. Don't hold on. And again, this isn't about Jesus being dematerialized. But it's like, Mary, don't go back to the old Jesus. I'm not the old Jesus. It's not the good old times again. Now, we don't have a lot of stories about Jesus and his disciples, how they hung out. There were women with them, which was unusual. I'm thinking there was a lot of joyful hugging going on. And Mary goes to hug Jesus. Don't hold on to me, Mary. I am doing something new. I am something totally different. We're not going back to the old Jesus. I am something new. And that's the promise for us today. Jesus brings about newness. I know. Why are you folks here? So many people are here. Well, I'm here with Grandma and Grandpa. I'm here with Mom and Dad. It's a cultural thing. It's a celebration. We go to church and then we go out to dinner. We go to Grandma's place for dinner. Right? Or it's a spring thing. How can you have spring without Easter? Are there some of you, though, who are looking, trying to figure this out? What is this about? What is this thing called resurrection? What is the Easter experience? Can you believe? You have to have faith. No one can prove that the resurrection happened. It's accepted by faith. There was a writer who wrote a book about trying to prove the resurrection. And this was a journalist. And if you're a journalist, the way you prove something is you look at all different facets, all different questions, and you ask and you try to prove it. But this person was, his proof was, well, there's so many people whose lives have been changed, and it's an amazing thing because there's so many people who believe it. Well, that's not how you empirically prove something. You have to find the evidence. And folks, there's not a lot of evidence. It has to be accepted by faith. What's the faith? The faith is that God can do something new with you. God can do something new with me. We want to hold on to the old, right? We want to hold on to old grudges. We want to hold on to old guilt. We want to hold on to old failures, things we've done wrong. Perhaps we want to hold on to old good times too. Good times when they weren't so good, really. But we want to hold on to that. In the midst of this, Jesus says, I am doing something new. And it's something new that happens every Easter. In fact, it happens every day. It's just today we focus on resurrection. That God can take something decrepit, depraved, something weak, something broken, and make it new. That's the promise to us. So don't hold on to broken relationships. Don't hold on to broken dreams. Don't hold on to anything broken, because Jesus is doing something new. Jesus has defeated that power of darkness, that power of sin, that power of death. He has defeated that for all times through the cross and through the resurrection. Jesus has done something powerful that can't be replicated anywhere. Jesus has redeemed the whole creation, the whole universe, not just we gathered here today or Christians gathered today. No, Jesus is about redeeming the whole world, the whole universe. Jesus is saying to you, what new can I do in you? What old needs to be forgotten? What old broken things need to be redeemed and made new? That's the promise we have today, that Jesus has risen from the dead and defeated the power of the old broken. So today we rejoice. We rejoice and give thanks to God, because God is with us through Jesus Christ, and God will never let us go. We have been redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ and given the gift of eternal life. And you know what? There's something real that we can hold on to with this promise. It's Jesus' very body and blood, a little piece of bread, a little sip of wine, to remind us that we are God's resurrection people, forgiven and redeemed. Let us pray. Gracious God, we want to hold on to the old you, old destructive images, and yet you come into our lives anew. You want us to have a new relationship with you, a relationship of love, no matter what, a relationship of light over darkness. Come into our hearts. Help us to grow into this relationship. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.